Blog Talk Radio.
Watchman on the wall, coming in. Watchman on the wall, Elder G Bazaar, coming in. Can you hear me?
You're on live, Doc.
Okay, gotcha. All right. We're online. We're greeting you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. From the beginning to the end, he's yesterday, he's today, and he's evermore. It's a pleasure to be with you this evening, coming to you from Warren, Ohio, breaking on down into Atlanta, Georgia, and from then on, we got good news. And I've been saying it for the last 57, 56 years. Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming. Woo! He's right on it. He's right on time according to the scripture. And there's no date, there's no month, and there's no year that said exactly when he's coming. Only the Father knows exactly what day the trumpets will sound. And he said, before I sound the trumpets, Bible prophecy has to be fulfilled up to the point of the rapture. I hope you can understand that. Up to the point of the rapture, Bible prophecy must be fulfilled, because after the rapture, there's still 7 years to be fulfilled. And we're at the end of what? The church age. The church age has fulfilled its mission. We only got a few more months, a few more days, a few more hours. I don't know. You say a few more years, but the way things are going, it ain't going to hold out. Something got to break loose. Something got to break loose. And I know you got the squirts out there. You got the deniers. You got the ones that's saying, y'all just getting on my nerve. You've been talking about this so long. Well, actually, you ain't been talking about that long. You just ain't been here long enough. Amen, baby. They've been talking about this for 2,000 years. The day that Jesus Christ left Mount Olive, he said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again. He told the disciples, as he was on top of the Mount of Olives, they looked up and stared and gazed up into heaven, and two men came by, dressed in white apparel, and said, why, ye men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, absolutely the same one that was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes in Bethlehem of Judea, the one that was baptized by John the Baptist, the one that came up out of the water, and a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, the same one that went up into the wilderness and was tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, the same one that went to Cana and turned the water to wine, the same absolute one that did miracles on top of miracles for the 33 and one half years that he was up on the face of this earth. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God Almighty, in the flesh, God became man. I want you to get this real good. God became man. M-A-N, M-A-N. God became man, wrapped up in human flesh. He was a solid man. He was a real man. He was a man of men. And he was the only one that was able to become God-man because he was God all 110%. He was all God and he was all human. And this was the only way. Ooh, listen to me now. This was the only way, good God Almighty. Listen, this is the only way that God could redeem man from sin. He had to become man. He had to have a blood system. He had to be human, but yet still God. He had to suffer. He had to die. He had to go to hell and preach to those in prisons. And he had to get up on the third day morning with all power and heaven and earth in his hand. He paid the price for what? Sin, damnation, the grave, and depravity and iniquity. He paid the whole price. There was nobody else in the universe. There was nobody else in, oh, listen to me what I'm saying now. There was no other man that was born without sin but Jesus Christ. So any man that comes before Jesus Christ claiming to be Christ was too early. And anything that came after Jesus Christ's resurrection was too late. So ain't nobody, ain't no demon in hell gonna drive, get me to believe that there's another way to heaven other than Jesus Christ. No way there's another way to heaven. No way that you could be born again but by the blood of Jesus Christ. No way that there's no other blood but the blood of Jesus Christ that's able to redeem you from sin, death, hell, and the grave, my brother, my sister, my pope. Oh, look, good God Almighty, my bishop, I don't care what kind of church member you call yourself a being. Your church membership will never get you to heaven. Your looks, your status quo, your education, your plaques on the wall, all that stuff is garbage when it comes down to knowing who Jesus Christ is. And that's what the world is having a problem with. They don't want to know who Jesus Christ is. They don't want to believe that who he said he was, that he is what he said he is. Amen. Amen. Good God Almighty. Let me bow my head before I start off. Amen. Father, I come to you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. But let us speak this word in season, out of season. Let us preach it until till hell shake. Let us preach until the moon shake. Let us preach it and let the world know. Let the world know. There's one heaven, there's one hell, there's one baptism, woo, and there's one way to go to heaven, and there's one way to go to hell. We ask you right now in Jesus' name, rebuke every spirit that tried to hinder from the gospel being preached, the unadulterated word coming straight from the word of God. No other book on the face of this earth is like the Holy Bible, and the Holy Bible is the only book that God wrote through holy men as they were moved by the Holy Ghost to give to mankind. And mankind is rejecting it, and they keep on rejecting. They've been rejecting it for the last 6,000 years, the word of God, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. And let me tell you something. If you reject God's word, if you reject his Holy Spirit, if you reject his son, if you reject his blood, if you reject his resurrection, if you reject all that he did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and go back in the Old Testament where they say that he was going to come, if you rejected and denied and you died without Christ in your life, without Christ in your life, you will lift up your eyes in hell. And that's the truth. That's nothing but the truth. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what racial background you got. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how much many cars you got. I don't care how many houses you got. I don't care how much gold you got, silver or brass. I don't care how famous you think you can be, because really in the eyesight of God, there's no famous people, only in the word of God. Famous people in the word of God, all kind of famous people. Samson was famous. Woo! David was famous. All those men that served God and gave their life to serve God, to let the world know there is one way, and that is the way that God has planned for us. Amen, amen. Ooh, my God. Let me see where I can start. Let me tell you, it's rapture time. It's rapture time. The rapture is almost here. We're living in a 2021, and the rapture is almost here. This is the month of August. Next month is the month of what? Three feast days. Three feast days is to be fulfilled in September and October. Hit me now. There are seven feast days, the Lord's feast, the Lord's feast days. And these feast days, God got them in order. Huck, almighty no. God got them in order. And you say, Brother Bazaar, what you talking about? The 23rd chapter of Leviticus gives us the seven feast days that will be fulfilled in the process of time over the period of 6,000 years. It's going to be fulfilled just like God said. I didn't say it, huh? The prophet just didn't say it. God gave it to the prophet, and the prophet gave it to Israel, and Israel's supposed to give it to the world, and now Israel is dependent upon these feast days to regulate, amen, what Jesus said he was going to do. And now we're going to go through the feast days and show you, amen, how orderly God is. He's perfect God. Never made a mistake. And the first feast days, and I'm going to give you the scriptures, but I'm going to let you go to Leviticus. I really don't want to have to read them to you, but you got to read them for yourself. In Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, you see the Lord's feast days. Every year, these feast days repeat themselves for the last 3,000, 4,000 years, ever since Israel became a nation. And after that, God gave them the feast days in Leviticus. Day is called the Passover. Now listen, the Passover. What is the Passover? The Passover was when Israel was in the land of Egypt. And God told Moses to go down and do what? Go down and tell Pharaoh to let my people go so they can serve me. And Moses came back from the burning bush. 40 years he spent in the wilderness. After the 40 years, God sent him back down into Egypt and told Pharaoh to tell Pharaoh to explain to Pharaoh that let my people go so they can do what? Serve me. So you got the first feast day. And the first feast day was found in March, between March and April. What is the Passover? The Passover was when the last plague that God brought up on Egypt was a plague of death. He told Israel, this is what he told them now, take a lamb and slay it. Under 3 years old, when you slay it, put the blood in a basin, take some heifer, and spread it over the lintel of the doorpost. This is the Passover, on time. After they had spread the blood over the lintel, the top and the two sides. He says, you got to use a lamb. You can't use a goat. You can't use a bullock. You can't use two turtle doves, which is used later on as a sacrifice of sin. But right now, Moses had to deal with a lamb, and he took the lamb and slayed it on every doorpost of the Israelites. He took the heifer, which means bitterment. It's a bitter herb, and he dipped it in the blood because it was bitter coming up out of the land of Egypt. And so they took the heifer and put it on what? They put it on the doorpost. And God told Moses to tell Israel, if you put the blood, you hear what I said? Put the blood on the doorpost. If you don't put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, death will swoop out your firstborn. And Moses took the heifer and the blood of the lamb and put it on the lintel of the doorpost, one on the top, one on the side, one on the other side. And if you would do a little bit of geometry, and you would take the top blood would drop down to B. And after you get B, you got A, and the blood would run down and drop on the ground. That's a straight line down. And then take A, B, C on the left lintel of the doorpost. D is on the right And if you take some geometry and a line and draw a line straight down and then draw a line cross in the doorway, you will see a cross. A cross in the doorway with blood of a lamb. And when death came in that night, and saw that blood on the doorpost, it saw the blood first, and it saw what the blood represents. It represents the cross. In the Old Testament, the lamb's blood was the main subject that kept death out of the homes, so the firstborn would not be slain because they saw the blood. They saw the blood. They killed a lamb. That's the first feast, the feast of the Passover. The second was the feast of unleavened bread. A sinless lamb was slain because animals can't sin. The blood was a typical shadow, of the blood of Christ about 3,000 years ahead of time. But at that time, it was too early for Jesus to come, too early. He couldn't have come. It had to take 4,000 years for him to get here. But that Passover in the Old Testament represents Christ in the New Testament. The unleavened bread represents the sinless lamb was a sin offering and an atonement for the sins of the people. And the firstborn, when death saw that blood on the doorpost at Passover, and 3 days later, we have the first fruit, the feast of the first fruit. That is the resurrection. That is the third day after they had put the blood on the doorpost and the Egyptians tried to hold the Israelites in Egypt, and they came out of Egypt on the third day. They came up. They were resurrected out of the land of Egypt on the third day, and they began to take their journey to the land flowing with milk and honey. Woo! We got Passover. We got unleavened bread, which is, represent a sinless sacrifice. 3 days later, we see the first fruit, the resurrection. From that day, Israel came up out of the land of Egypt. And when they come up out of the land of Egypt, it represents the first fruit and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's number three. That's three feasts that have been fulfilled, and yet there's one more, and that's the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost. And the Feast of Pentecost didn't come until the resurrection of Jesus Christ in 34 A.D. When Jesus Christ came up out of the grave, that was the fourth feast day that was fulfilled. It's been fulfilled. It's been fulfilled ever since the day of Pentecost, because when Christ left Jerusalem and ascended up into heaven on Mount Olive, he told his disciples to go back down into Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, and he shall send you some power from on high, which is the Holy Ghost, and you shall be a witness. You shall be a witness for me. Tell the world. Tell the world what? Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. When Christ was resurrected from the grave, he stayed up on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Good God Almighty. He stayed up on earth 40 days and 40 nights. He preached. People saw him. The disciples saw him. 500 brothers saw him. After they had saw him and witnessed to him, they didn't have no doubt. And yet still you had people that doubted him and didn't believe that he had resurrected from the dead, and one of the disciples was one to cause was doubting Thomas. He said, I will not believe that he got up out the grave with all power in heaven and earth until I see the nail prints in his hand. And Jesus Christ made a specific visit to doubting Thomas. And when doubting Thomas was in the room, Jesus just walked through the door, appeared in the upper room. And Jesus told Thomas, come and look at my hand. Look at my feet. Look at my brow. Look at my side. Look at the pierced side I have. Look at my pierced hands I have. Look at my pierced feet. And doubting Thomas took his hand and went into the side of Jesus and felt the bruises and the marks and the nail prints. And he said, my Lord, my God. He recognized that this Christ that was resurrected from the dead is God Almighty. And he said, my Lord, my God. And doubting Thomas didn't doubt no more. But Jesus Christ said, blessed are those that have never seen, but yet believe. And that's us. I've never seen the nail prints in his hand. I've never seen nail prints in his feet, but I've never seen the scarred back. I've never seen the crown of thorns on his head, but I know what a shot of a guy. I know he got up out the grave, because when he got up out the grave, he had power enough to live in my life. He got not power enough to live in your old life, but many people today don't want Christ to live in their life. They want to go on and do what they want to do, yet still they want to go to heaven. But let me tell you something. You cannot enter to heaven unless you've been born again. And on the day of Pentecost, Jesus Christ went back, and 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. And 10 days later, after he had received on his Father's throne, 10 days later, the 50th day of Jubilee, 120 Jews was in the upper room, and they were waiting for the promise of the Father, because without the Holy Ghost, you can't operate. Without the Holy Ghost, you can't be saved. Without the Holy Ghost, you cannot be washed in the blood of the Lamb, but through God, through the blood of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus Christ opened the fountain and died and rose again, the fountain was open, and now men can be saved by works, least any man should boast. And now we're living in that time, over 2,600 feast days have passed. In other words, every year, for 3,000 years, these feast days are being in motion to be fulfilled. And yet and still, there's only three that has not been fulfilled. And usually when it happens in September and October. And the next feast celebration will be called the Feast of the Trumpets. Feast of the Trumpet, which is a day of awe, which is a day in which the trumpets of God will blow. Oh, my God, my God. And now we're living in 2021, and these feasts are almost being fulfilled. The next one is the Feast of Yom Kippur. That is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then the next one is the Feast of Tabernacle. That is the millennium reign. That is the millennium reign. I hope you can get a glimpse of this, because now we're in the age of rapture time. The rapture could happen this September. I'm not putting no money, but this is God's orderly. This is God's work. This ain't my work. September is a harvest month. That's when you start bringing in your harvest from your gardens. That's when you start recognizing that your harvest is almost complete. Woo! And now the church has been going down through all this time of 2,000 years, and now it's almost harvest time. God is almost ready to blow the trumpets, and it may blow this September. You don't know. I don't know. But let me tell you, God is orderly. God is right. God is on time. He may not come when you want him, Lord have mercy, but he's always on time. And the only three that's left to be fulfilled is the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Yom Kippur, the Feast of Tabernacle. These are the last three, and that makes seven. The Feast of Passover, the Feast of unleavened bread, the feast of first fruits, and the feast of Pentecost is all past. And then now we're living in the last three feast years. And the years is found in September and October and November, because the Feast of Tabernacles represents the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. And now Jesus Christ said, now when you see all these signs that you see now, everything that you see now is a fulfillment that we're getting closer and closer and closer to the rapture of the church. Because let me tell you, my friends, the rapture of the church is for the church. The rapture of the church is for the born-again believer. It's not for just a church member. It's not just for some preacher. It's not for those that say they saved. It's for those that know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and have repented of their sins. Because when Jesus Christ comes, it's not going to be in slow motion. He said, Apostle Paul said, in a moment, in the twinkling, you hear what I'm saying, a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And he said, we shall be changed from this mortal body to immortality. And we shall meet the Lord where? We're going to meet him in the air. We're going to meet him in the air. We ain't going to meet him down here. We're going to meet the Lord in the air at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Every born-again believer around the world, from Portland, Maine, to the coast of California, to the coast of China and Russia, all the way over to Israel, all the way over to Western Europe, all the way over to Africa, it's going to swoop. It's going to swoop every born again believer in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. We're going to be with the Lord just like that. Ain't going to be no hesitation. And then the world will go into a fake peace program. And then the Antichrist will come out on the scene. And by the way, the Antichrist is alive today. 53 years old. I'm telling you Bible fact. And I don't lie on God's word. I will not lie, because God said a liar will not tarry in my sight. The Antichrist is alive, and he's waiting for the moment to make a covenant. A covenant with who? Israel. Israel must have a covenant. And this covenant is that they will build a temple, and that they will get a red heifer, and that they will start old Judaism up again. God is going to permit them to start Judaism up again, to let them recognize that Judaism is done. Judaism is over. Judaism is no longer in power, because Judaism was a type and shadow of an ultimate sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they gave up animals and blood and sprinkled it over the altar and went into the holies of holies to make an atonement for the sins of the people. But that wasn't good enough. That was only temporarily to show the world, to show Israel especially, that look here, I'm doing this to let you know that when Jesus Christ comes, it's going to take his blood to save Israel. It's going to take his blood to save the Gentiles. It's going to take his blood to save the drunkard. It's going to take his blood to save the liar and the prostitute. It's going to take his blood to save the world. Because without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no hope to nobody. But thank God for Jesus. Because when he come, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. And by the Jews rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Jesus said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take Israel and cut them off the original branch, and then I'm going to grab the Gentiles in. And when I grab the Gentiles in, I'm going to start with 120 Jews in the upper room. But by the Jews rejecting Jesus Christ, I'm going to cut them off for 7 years. I'm going to cut them off 7 years short, and I'm going to grab the Gentiles in. And ever since the church age started, the most of the churches consisted of Gentiles. Good God Almighty. Yeah, and now the Gentile time is almost up. The Gentile time is almost up because the Bible says whether you Jew or Gentile, you're all one in Jesus Christ. If you've been born again, you are a child of God. If you've been saved and sanctified, you're a child of God. If you've been to the cross of Jesus Christ and bow down your head in repentance and turn from your wicked ways and confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible says, I didn't say it, the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. So what we're doing, brother preacher, we're living in that last day. We're living in the church of that last church age, the Laodicean church age, that hypocritical church age, that church age that's blind and wretched and poor and have a form of godliness but don't have no power. And I'm going to tell you something. We'll never get back where we started from. We started at the day of Pentecost. But they tell me, the Bible said, in the last days there shall be a falling away first, and the man of sin shall be revealed. The church has fell away from the cross. Yeah, people don't believe in the cross no more. People don't believe in the shed blood anymore. People don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're laughing at it. They're mocking it. They're telling me it's not necessary for any man to die for it. But the Bible said it was necessary. It was necessary. You say, well, where you get it in your Bible? I'm going to go to the scripture and show you where it was necessary. Look over here. Look in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, it reads this. It reads like this in the book of Hebrews. In the 9th chapter, of the book of Hebrews, it reads like this. 9:26 in the book of Hebrews. Let's see what it says about the blood of Jesus Christ. Woo-wee! Listen here. 9:26 says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. That's Jesus Christ. But now once in the end of the world has he appeared to what? Put away sin by what? Ooh, listen, by what? Sacrifice of himself. Who? Jesus Christ. Sacrifice of himself by Jesus Christ. And it is appointed once for men to die, and not the death, the judgment. 9:24, it says, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are a figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often. In other words, Christ did not offer himself over and over and over and over. He offered himself one time as a high priest into the holy place, and every year with blood of others. So without the shedding the blood, where is that found at in the Bible? It's found that in the Bible in the 22nd chapter of the 9th verse of Hebrews. And almost all things are by the law, purged with blood. Purged with blood. Listen, purged with blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that he had to shed his blood. God knew it. Ooh, he had to shed his blood on Calvary's cross for our sins, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It was not in the power of the blood of goats and turtle doves and lambs in the Old Testament to give up blood to take away sin. It only covers sin. But when Christ came, it took sin out of my soul, out of my spirit. And now I'm a born-again believer, wrapped up in the Holy Ghost, tied up in his blood. Amen. I'm letting the blood wash me white in the snow, never to come under condemnation no more. Why? Because I've been saved by his grace. I'm saved not by works, least any man but should boast, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Don't let nobody fool you. You can work in the church. You can work. But without the blood of Jesus Christ and repentance of your sin and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, your works is all in vain, because the works of mankind can never reach God. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ, because it's a gift to God. It's a gift to God. It's a gift that God gave man. And man said, I don't want the gift. I don't want it. The reason I don't want it, because I love sin. I love the life I live and live the life I love. And that's what people are doing today. They have no idea how close the rapture is. Church folk don't have no idea. And they're sleeping. They're slobbering all over themselves. They're having a form of godliness, but they ain't got no power. And when Jesus Christ comes, he's going to find a lot of Christians, amen, off guard. A lot of Christians going to be surprised when Jesus, a lot of preachers going to be surprised when Jesus comes, because most preachers today are not preaching the end time message. The end time message is that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and he's coming back to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. And the Bible tells me, when you see these signs coming, preach it. What's going to happen before Christ comes back and for the church? What's going to happen before Christ comes back for the church? Number one, this is what's going to happen. Number one, listen to what I got to say. Number one prophecy, the most unique prophecy of all the Bible, is found in the book of Ezekiel, The 37th chapter tells you the rebirth of Israel. Rebirth of Israel is one of the greatest prophecies that says that Jesus Christ is soon to come, because he said, before I come back to this earth, Israel will be a nation. Israel will be reborn. Israel will be in the land. Israel will be ready to build a temple. Israel will be ready to go back to the old sacrificial sacrifices. And Israel be ready for the Antichrist to come, thinking it's going to be the true Christ. And it's not going to be the true Christ that come. It's going to be the false Christ. The world wants a false Messiah. The Jews want a false Messiah. They rejected Jesus Christ for the last 2,600 years. And now the Lord is going to let them and prove to the Jewish people that you are on the wrong road. I'm going to prove to you that this Antichrist is Satan himself that has deceived the nation of Israel. And Israel's eyes are going to be open. But before they can be open, they got to be in their land. In 1948, May the 14th, the greatest prophecy made across the annals of time, because God said, I'm going to regather my people from the four corners of the earth, and I'm going to bring them back into the land of Israel. And when I bring them back into the Israel, it's going to cause a World War III. It's going to cause a war, because the nations of the world don't want the Jews in the Middle East, because the devil knows that when the Jews come back in the Middle East, Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back and defend the Jewish nation. And the church is standing by, wondering what's going on, and the church should be supporting the Jewish people and ministering to the Jewish people and let the Jewish people, your Messiah is coming, but he's not coming the way that you think he's coming. This false Messiah that's coming is a liar. This false Messiah is a dragon. This false Messiah is a beast, and he's coming back, and he's alive today, waiting for the time to come on a peace platform. And the peace platform will be, the world is looking for somebody to bring peace. somebody to make the presidents be embarrassed. Somebody that's handsome. Somebody that knows what to do. Somebody that has power. And this Antichrist is going to have power through the work of Satan. Satan works behind the mystery of Satan, the mystery of iniquity. He's going to work behind, and he's going to tell the world when the Antichrist comes, he said, I am Jesus. I am Jesus Christ. I am your Messiah. And the Jews are going to believe that this year false Messiah is Jesus Christ, because when this false Messiah come on the scene, he's going to give the Jews permission and make a covenant with them and make a peace treaty with them and tell them they have the right to rebuild their temple. They have the right to get the Ark of the Covenant. They have the right to get the heifers and slay them and burn them and sanctify the altar. And the Jews are going to sign a peace pact with them, with the Antichrist, and the world is going to go, oh, this is what we've been looking for. But before that happens, the church has to be removed. The body of Christ has to be removed. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, these denominations, amen, they can talk about heaven all they want. We got people who are in a cult. They are cultic. We got the Illuminatis. We got the Kabbalahs. We got all kinds of worshipers of Satan. These are called antichrists. And you the antichrist that's on the face of the earth today. Don't be shocked. Don't be alarmed. Amen. Because the devil got all kinds of religions all over the face of the earth. He's got over 8,000 different kinds of way to have religious services trying to reach God, but they all are liars. They all are antichrist. We got denominations that's turning from the true meaning of Christianity going into occultism. Listen, we got the atheists that don't believe in God. And since they don't believe in God, you know good and well, they ain't going to be in heaven. They ain't going to be caught in the rapture. We got, listen, this is the New Age movement. The New Age movement. Nothing about the cross. Nothing about the cross. We got Buddhism. Nothing about the cross. Nothing about the suffering and the birth and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We got Shintoism. We got Mormonism, which is an occult religion. We got Unity, occult religion. We got Satanism, occult religion. We got Taoism, occult religion. We got Christian Scientists, occult religion. We got Jehovah Witness, occult religion. We got Islam, occult religion. We got fashionism, occult religion. We got Catholicism. You hear what I said? Catholicism, occult religion. We got some denominations, unnamed denominations, that's occult religion. We got the KKK is an occult religion. We got Nazism, occult religion. We got Armstrongism, occult religion. We got voodoo, occult religion. We got witchcraft, lesbianism, Islam. We got Sodomite. We got apostolic religion that depends upon tongues for salvation. Tongues is not salvation. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that's salvation. It's faith in Jesus Christ, and the love of God comes into your life and change your life from hate to love. Because the Bible say, I'm going on what the Bible say. The Bible said if a man say he loved God and hate his brother, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. He's a white liar. He's a black liar. He's a Chinese liar. He's a Jewish liar. Because the Bible says whoever confessed that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is of God. And whoever confessed not is an antichrist. And we got millions of antichrists today. But the one main one is coming is the antichrist, which would be Satan himself. And Satan now is working on his church. He's working on his church through the Pope. Because in October the 1st, 2000, 2021. The Pope said that was what we are trying to go for. This is what we're going for. We're going for all religions and all denominations and all kind of different kinds of way to worship God. We want you to come under one umbrella and come as one body under the power of the Antichrist. And there's churches today, amen, are joining up with the One World Church. You hear what the One World Church is? The One World Church is found in the 17th chapter. Good God Almighty. Now, I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it out of the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Amen. The devil don't like this. He don't like this because this is him. This is him. And listen what it says. Listen, this is the occult church. This is all the churches that have joined in. Unregenerated people. People who don't know God through Jesus Christ. They don't know God because they are following the Antichrist. And the reason they're following the Antichrist, because the Antichrist is not looking for repentance. He's not looking for people to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is his worst enemy. The Holy Ghost is God Almighty, and God is not going to support nothing that Satan has. So Satan says, if I can join all the people together of the face of the earth to join this one world church, and this one world church falls under the Roman government, because Rome was the most powerful nation, most powerful empire on the face of the earth during the time of Jesus Christ. And the Roman Catholic Church came from Rome, and Rome was a pagan empire. And anything upon this earth, amen, that's pagan is not of God. And Satan is the one that caused paganism. And now paganism has tried to mix in with Christianity and call Christianity as a pagan religion. But that's a lying wonder, because they tell me Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is holy. Jesus is righteous. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Rose of Sharon. Jesus is the one that died on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, and got up out the grave by himself. Nobody there was to help him. Nobody. I mean nobody. They couldn't call nobody. They couldn't get nobody. Why? Because he didn't need nobody. He's self-existent. Jesus Christ said, I am the beginning and I am the end. I am the first and the last. Anything before me was too early, and anything after me is too late. So let me tell you, if you miss the rapture, you're too late. Good God Almighty, if you're not right with God, if you just have a form of godliness, but you ain't got no power, and one thing, you got to have power. The only way you can have power is you got to have the love of God. You got to have the love of God. You got to have the love of God in your heart. Before you leave this earth, you can't have no hate in your heart. I mean none. You can't go around hating people. Church folks, you can't go around hating people. You got to have a love of God shed by his blood on Calvary's cross. And if you have the love of God filled with the Spirit and have been sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption, when the rapture occurs in the trump blow, you're going to disappear. You're going to disappear in thin air, and you're going to meet the Lord in the air. But those that are without Christ, you hear what I said? Those that are without Christ, Nazism without Christ, voodoo without Christ, witchcraft, homosexuality without Christ, lesbianism, sodomite without Christ. There are some denomination churches that's fallen over to the hands of the Antichrist. It's coming out of the Baptist church, coming out of the Church of God, coming out of the Lutheran church. There's people switching their religion and switching their denomination, and there's some preachers now, they can't even preach no more. They can't preach nowhere because, number one, they're too far behind. They can't catch up with what's going on down through the years. And let me tell you, in order to understand the Word of God, you got to listen to the Word of God and tell you and let it tell you exactly when Christ is going to come back. And now Israel is back in the land. Israel is preparing for the Antichrist. Now he's alive. He's coming out of Spain. Madrid, Spain. Get on your YouTube and check it out. There's a man in Spain called King Felipe. King Felipe. And he's waiting for the time for him to come out. And King Felipe knows all about the Illuminati. He is a member of the Illuminati. He belonged to the Baphomet. He belonged to the black occults. He is a handsome 6'6" man. He has a wife. He has children. And now he's ready to come up out of Spain as soon as the rapture of the church. He's the white horse in the book of Revelation. And the white horse is not able to ride until the first seal is broken. And the first seal can't be broken until the fourth chapter of Revelation be fulfilled. Well, what's the fourth chapter of Revelation? Let's see what the fourth chapter of Revelation says. If you got your Bible, amen, get it out. Amen. Get it out, brothers and sisters. I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm preaching out of the bottom of my heart to get you to see, amen, exactly where we at. The fourth chapter of Revelation says this, fourth chapter. After this, John said, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet. Trumpet! There's a trumpet. That's the only trumpet I see. Amen. In the book of Revelation that starts out with a trumpet. It said a trumpet talking with me, which said, come, what? Up hither. Up. You get it? Up. Caught up. Rapture. Caught up. I will show you these things which must be hereafter. In other words, after the rapture of the church, John, the angel said, I'm going to show you what's going to happen after the rapture of the church. And John said, immediately I was in the spirit, and I beheld a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. Now, this is what the rapture is all about. This is where the rapture occur in the book of Revelation, because after the rapture occur, you will find no church nowhere. You won't find nothing but the beast and the woman, scarlet beast. You won't find nothing but Moses and Elijah. You won't find nothing but the 144,000. You won't find nothing but the bottomless pit open. You don't see the church nowhere. Do you see the church? Why? Because the church is in heaven at the fourth chapter of Revelation. The fourth chapter of Revelation gives you a picture of the body of Christ being removed from the earth. And the only time you see the church, oh God Almighty, listen, only time you see the church, I'm going to show you where you're going to see the church at 7 years later after the rapture of the church. Here's where the church is going to be. Amen. In the 19th chapter, the 11th verse. Now, you know, in the fourth chapter, we see there was a door open. But here in the what? In the 19th chapter, we see I saw heaven open. So a door was open there for the church to come in through the door. But when Christ comes back with the church, the heaven's going to open. And listen what it says. And I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. There's two white horses in Revelation. The first horse is the horse that represents the Antichrist, which is in the sixth chapter. The second horse is the horse in which Jesus Christ will ride on. He describes what he looked like. And he says there, and I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. And he that set upon him is called faithful and true. In righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed, good God Almighty, in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the army, what army? Where you get the army from? Don't you know if you've been enlisted and been born again, saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and running on anyhow, and you have had a changed life? You change from a whoremonger to a saint. You change from a drunkard to a saint. You turn from a liar to a saint because God has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Don't you know you didn't join the army? You were born in the army. And this army now is coming in glory. And it says the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. So when we come back from heaven, oh, Lord, when the church come back from heaven after 7 years of being judged, we're coming back in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth was a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations, and the nations shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treaded the winepress of his fierceness and his wrath, Almighty God. That's where the church is at. The church is found in the 19th chapter of Revelation. That's the church. And you notice it, it didn't give you a name. It says saints. So when you're born again, you become a saint. That don't mean you got a halo around your head. That don't mean you flying through the air like you ain't never done that. But you become a saint through the blood of Jesus Christ by faith in the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You admit, repent of your sin. You are broken up with a contrite spirit. You are sorry that you have sinned against a holy God. A holy God. God cannot tolerate sin in his presence. Instead of destroying you, he wants to destroy the sin that's in you. And the only way that he can eliminate your sin in you is let him wash you in his blood, because it's a cleansing agent. You hear what I said? Clorox ain't nothing. Less toil ain't nothing. Tide ain't nothing. Nothing can cleanse your soul but the blood of Jesus Christ. And you got to repent. You got to come to Christ. You got to humble yourself. You got to come down to the zero factor and admit to God Almighty through his son, Lord, I am a low-down, rotten sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm trying to play Christian, and I'm still a sinner because I'm trying to fake my salvation. I want to serve the world, and I want to serve God. You can't serve two masters. Either you hate one or love the other, or love the one and hate one. Which one do you want? Do you want to go to hell? Hey, serve the devil. Reject Jesus Christ. Refuse to repent of your sin and turn from your wickedness. Refuse that. And I guarantee you, through the word of God, if you don't have the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ in your life by the Holy Spirit, you will burn in hell. You cannot, I told you once and I'll tell you again, you cannot work your way to heaven. You can't do it. Hollywood movie stars can't do it. Preacher can't do it. The bishop can't do it. The pope can't do it. Nobody can work their way to heaven. You can get a steam shovel and a bulldozer and work from here to eternity. You still can't get to heaven. You can build churches all over the country. You can preach like you a real preacher, but you can't go to heaven unless you've been born again. You can't work. You can't work. You got to be saved, because only what you do for Christ will stand. So if you're going to do anything for Christ, you got to know Christ. If you don't know Christ, then it's not out of crisis. It's not out of Christ. It's not of Christ. The only thing that can do anything for Christ, you got to know the Spirit of God has to be in you. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, said the Lord of hosts. So what you're saying, preacher, I'm saying the church, the world church, is getting ready to join in with the Roman Catholic diocese. And the Roman Catholic churches and the occultism is working with these fallen angels. They're in cahoots with the fallen angels that fell from heaven. These diabolical demons that's right now the prince power of the air. They got vehicles and they're flying. They're in the earth and they're up on above the earth. They fly through the air. They go down into the sea. They can come up out of the sea. Why? Because the world's going to be taken over by demonic forces. The devil is going to have his cohorts down here, and they're going to be working against the plan of God. But let me tell you, he's not going to win. He lost a long time ago. And the only ones that he's going to get is those that reject the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. The only ones that reject, the ones that reject that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, if you reject him, hell will be your home. And if I advise you, I advise you to repent. because no sin will ever enter the kingdom of God. You ain't going. You say your mama, you trying to get off your mama's religion, your daddy, your sister, your brother? No. You trying to get off of what? Your education? No. You trying to get off your movie star and your professional sports or whatever you call yourself being? You trying to get out? You trying to go to heaven? No. You must be born again. You must accept the atonement that Jesus Christ made on the cross. If you reject that, the cross will become your sword. If you turn the cross upside down and put your hand on the top of the cross, you got a sword in your hand. And if you're any enemy of the cross will become your enemy. And you'll be cast into the lake of fire because your soul is still in sin. And God cannot, will not, with sin too much longer. Man done had 6,000 years to prove himself. 6,000 years done went past us. And man still sinning. Man still cussing God. Man still said God is dead. Man still said God ain't no good. They're still sinning, and God done give you every day in your breath of your life. He could speak to you and you'll lay down and die. And he give you an opportunity to come to the cross and receive him as your Lord and Savior. Because you do not want, number one, you don't want to die and go to hell. You don't want to die, and then you don't want to go through the tribulation. Because you have a better chance of going through the tribulation than you just dying right now. Because the tribulation may open up your eyes, and you may see that we're living to the close to the end of time, the end of the age. Not the end of the world, but the end of the age, the end of sin and killing and murdering and raping and all kinds of pornography and church going. I it's kind of sickening to go to church today and you can't get nothing. You can't get nothing. That's why people don't want to go no more. They can't get nothing. You know what they ain't getting? They ain't getting the whole Bible. They ain't getting the whole Bible. They ain't getting the word of God. He said, the Lord said, every man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Preachers are not preaching the gospel no more. Very few are. But they're not preaching that unadulterated word of God where it says, heaven or hell, salvation or no salvation, saved or lost. Either you two or one, whatever. Either you saved or you're lost. You ain't lost because you see it. You're lost because you don't know who Jesus Christ is. You don't know him. You might have a little head knowledge, but you don't have no heart knowledge. And a lot of people got a lot of head knowledge, but they don't have no heart knowledge. Heart knowledge means that you have the love of God in your heart. You love people. You want to see people saved. You want to see people escape the wrath of God Almighty. I don't want to see nobody go to hell. No, I don't. I was in the shower last night. I had the water on too hot. Oh, God have mercy. I jumped out that shower so fast and had to turn on the cold water. I said, no way. I can't understand people. If God's word is true, you better believe it. God's word is true, my brother. And God loved you so much that he gave his only. He didn't have no more sons. He didn't have no other way to redeem man but himself. There is no other name given unto heaven whereby men can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. Because Farrakhan ain't going to save you. You hear what I said? I said Farrakhan ain't going to save you. T.G. Jakes ain't going to save you. No. I don't care. Benny Hinn ain't going to save you. Billy Graham can't save you. Nobody on this planet can save you because there's no other name above the name of Jesus Christ but Jesus Christ. If the preacher preaches from the Bible, tell him to read from the Bible. Read the scriptures from the Bible and rightly divide the word of truth that he don't have to be ashamed. Tell the preacher, don't be preaching all this old prosperity. I don't want money. I want salvation. I want to be delivered from the devil and the clutches and the lying and the cheating. I want to be delivered from that. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I'll add all that you need. I ain't going to want nothing. I want Jesus. I want Jesus, brother. And the world today says, I don't want Jesus. Well, if you don't want Jesus, there's a day coming. At the final judgment, Jesus said, I don't want you. I gave you an opportunity to come to me. I let you live 40, 60, 80, 90. I let you live 30. I let you live 25. I let you live 15. I let you live all that time. And you know what you did? You turned your nose up at me. You cussed me out. You talked about me. You made fun of me. You ridiculed me. Now, instead of letting Jesus Christ pay for your sins and wash you and make you clean and sanctify your soul that you can come in the presence of God, you refuse it. Now you got to pay the piper. You got to pay the devil. The devil said, if you work for me, I'll give you, he won't tell you, I'll give you hell. He said, you work for me, I'll give you the women, I'll give you the money, I'll give you the cars, I'll give you anything you want if you work for me, if you do my bidding. And that's what the Illuminati is doing to some church folks. Wait a minute. Let me get you where these Illuminati come from. Amen. Illuminati come from what? About 14 different secret societies that the world is dealing with now, and it comes from Satan. It comes from Beelzebub. It comes raw straight from the pits of hell. The devil got organizations that's going under the influence of Christianity, and it's the devil using Christianity to try to deceive a lot of people are being deceived by the devil. Why? Because they don't read the Bible. They are not looking salvation for their soul. They want the world, and the world has already told you. Jesus already told you. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and burn and burn and never cease to go out of existence? You just be burning and burning and burning. You'll be hollering and screaming. You'll be yelling and you'll be memorying. You'll be seeing. You'll be hearing. You'll be saying, oh, God, why didn't I listen to that crazy preacher? Why didn't I listen to that man that was trying to tell me, oh, I need you. I need you, Jesus. I figured I didn't need Jesus because I figured that that was a lie. But let me tell you, the Bible said, let God be true. Let every man be a liar. And if a man is not coming out of the word of God, he's a liar. He's a stone-faced liar. If a man tell you that God is going to bless you if you give him $50,000 or give him $1,000, he's lying. God already done blessed me. I ain't gave nobody no $1,000. I wouldn't give him no $1,000. You can't pay your way to heaven. You can't pray your way to heaven. You can't be nice as a piece of peach pie. You can be nice as can be and still go to hell. Because you got to be born again. You got sin inside of you. And sin is dirty. It stinks. It smells. It may look good on the outside, but on the inside, it's like a dead man's grave full of bones and spiders and water bugs. You got a mess on your hand. Your mouth is crooked. Your eyes is looking crooked. You love crooked things and dirty things. You don't love nothing clean. You don't love the sanctification of Jesus Christ. You hate the blood of Jesus Christ. You deny it. You reject it. And now you got to pay for your sins. You can let a baby be born and grow up until he's 90 years old and sit in one chair for 80 years. And do nothing. But before he get to heaven, he still have to be born again. He's got to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, how you like that? That's real. That's realistic. That ain't no play. Jesus Christ wants you. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to repent. But we got these Illuminati that's in what? The government. The government. You got them in some of the churches. The Freemasonry is Illuminati's. They're antichrists. They're liars. They put on big shows and big things and do works in the earth, but they're still liars. They're not of God. God ain't got nothing to do with no Freemason. You hear what I say? He ain't got nothing to do with United Nations. He ain't got nothing to do with the Club of Rome. He ain't got nothing to do with the Knight Templars. He ain't got nothing to do with the Skull and Bone. He ain't got nothing to do with the Illuminati. He ain't got nothing to do with the foreign relations. He ain't got nothing to do with the Bilderberg. He ain't got nothing to do with the European common market. He ain't got nothing to do with the Jesuits. That's the devil's territory. Thank God is dealing with right now. Only thing that God is interested in, only thing that God wants, he wants men to come out of darkness into the marvelous light. God is dealing with his church. He told Peter, up on this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Some folks say, that's my church. You ain't got no church. You the church? I'm going to church. You ain't going to church. You're going to worship. And if you're going to worship, you better go worshiping him in spirit and truth, because God is a spirit. And those that worship him, oh, those honor him, those that love him, those that obey him, must worship him in spirit and in truth. You're not going to go to church. People tell me, I'm going to church to worship the Lord. Well, some people go to church drunk. Some people go to church with another man's wife going up in there. Some people go to church lusting. Well, you ain't worshiping no God. You got the wrong God. When you go to church, you worship God in the spirit. You ain't going to church to talk about people and cut up people and try to make you all important and that the church ain't going to go on without you. Well, let me tell you something. The church is going on before you got here, and the church will be going on when you dead and gone, pushing up daisies. You ain't that important that the church going to stop. If I would die tomorrow, the price of eggs wouldn't go up. Come on now. Jesus Christ is the only one that you ought to worship. You're not to worship your wife. You're not to worship no preacher. You're not to worship no bishop. You're not to worship no pope. You're not to worship nobody but Jesus Christ. Don't have no other God before him. And Jesus Christ is God. So if you take Jesus Christ and say that he's not God, you ain't worshiping God in no spirit. Because the only way you can worship God in the spirit, you got to come to his son. You got to acknowledge his son. You got to acknowledge that burial, death, and the resurrection. You got to acknowledge that suffering that he done when he laid down his life and was mutilated beyond recognition, that no man desired to look upon him. You got to come on down on your sin-bending knees and tell the Lord, I'm just a low-down, dirty, rotten sinner. I'm sorry I was born like this. But since I was born like this to Adam and Eve, Lord, I just want you to save me anyhow. I need your salvation. I need your love. I need your mercy. So when they blow that trumpet, woo, that the graves will open. Oh, yes, indeed. At the rapture, people gonna know, they gonna see what the rapture means when it happens. Every grave that when people died that was saved, every grave where people died and they were saved will open up. Those that are not saved at the rapture will not open up. It's not going to open up. Because he says in Thessalonians, the dead in Christ shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and the graves will burst open. Well, how do you know that, Brother Bizarre? How do you know that the great, well, Jesus Christ came up out of his grave, didn't he? Woo! On the third day morning, angels knocked that, rolled that stone back, and the light came out. Light brighter than the morning star, and Jesus Christ rose from the dead with all power in heaven and earth in his hand, never to die no more. There ain't no more dying for Jesus. He done all his dying. There ain't no second and preach that second chance. Well, God done gave us more than the second chance. He done gave us a chance every day, our opportunity. Our opportunity to come to him. Why? Because like I told you, that last great prophecy, the fig tree, 1948, it budded. President Harry S. Truman, Harry S. Truman told the Jewish, his Jewish friend, and told the United States of America. He wrote a declaration of independence for Israel, that they would become a nation on their own, and this was the will of God, because God gave it to Ezekiel and told him to go down in the valley of the dry bone and talk to them bones and tell them bones, get up. You are dry now. You done sinned against me, and you scattered all over the face of the earth. But in the end time, 2,600 years later, I'm going to cause you to be reborn. And they were reborn in 1948, because I'm going to gather you back into the land before the Messiah comes. And now, guess what? The Messiah is coming. And the Jews are back in the land. But the false Messiah must come first. And the false Messiah is the Antichrist. The Antichrist cannot come. And he's alive today. I've been tracing him ever since 1976. I've been on his trail. His father was named Juan Carlos. He come up out of Rome. He was born in Rome. And General Lipsimo Franco called him down out of Rome at 10 years old and told him he's going to train him to be the king of Spain. And Spain is a descendant of Esau. And Esau was a brother of Jacob. And Jacob was the 12th tribe of Israel. So the Jews and Esau are brothers. And so now they descended down from Juan Carlos. Carlos married Sophia in 1962. In 1968, King Felipe was born. A baby boy was born through the linkage of the so-called the Grail, that they had a TV program on talking about the Grail, saying that Jesus Christ married Mary Magdalene, and Mary Magdalene had children. These children descended down through the Jewish genealogy until it came to Juan Carlos, which I don't doubt that Juan Carlos is not a descendant of Jesus Christ, but he's the descendant of the Jewish race. He's got Jewish, Latin, and Greek in him. He knows 10 foreign languages. He can fly plane. He's been in 4 military schools. He's been ruler of Spain from 2014 until this present day. His father became the ruler in 1975. I was on his trail. I've been tracing him. You ain't gonna fool me, because of Satan. Satan said, "Oh, you ain't that, ain't it?" I said, "Well, this ain't what the Bible says. The Bible said he would come out of the 10 nations of the European common market." And when they got the 10 nations, guess what? I saw another little horn. And another little horn represent the 11th nation that will come up after the 10 nations came. And the 11th nation was Spain. And Spanish people are conquerors. Spanish people are ruthless. Spanish people are adventurous. And in 1492, the Spanish called the Inquisition and told all the Jews to get out. And if you didn't get out, if you didn't go, you had to join the Roman Catholicism. And the Jews left. And when they left, they came to America. When they came to America in 1776, the Declaration of Independence was founded on what? Judeo-Christian basic, the Bible. The Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Who wrote the Bible? God wrote it through holy men as they were moved by the Holy Ghost through the Jewish nation. The Jewish nation is the writer and the author of the Bible. And God wrote use holy men to write the Holy Bible from Matthew, from all the way from Genesis to St. Matthew, through St. Matthew to Revelation. There's only one Gentile writer in the Bible, and that was old brother Luke. And Luke was a Greek. And by him being a Greek doctor, amen, he wrote about the anatomy of Jesus Christ. He wrote and told him that he was a human man, but yet God, God man. Ain't nobody ever walked on no water. Ain't nobody ever took water and turned it to wine. Ain't nobody, ain't nobody just opened up the eyes of the blind and cast out devils in his own name. Ain't nobody ever did that but Jesus Christ. And I know you got sorcery. You got a lot of exorcists that's casting out demons, but nobody cast them out like Jesus Christ. Why? Because the devil know who Jesus Christ is. When he saw that man in the graveyard, he looked at Jesus, them demons, 6,000 of them in one man. One man. Nobody could hold him down. He was an X-Man. He was a Superman. Nobody. I don't care how many men you got. You could put him in fetters and he would break them. Why? Because he had 6,000 demons in him. And these demons saw Jesus coming at the edge of the graveyard. And they said, hey, wait a minute. Whoa. Why do you come to torment us before our time? They knew who Jesus was. And they said, before you do anything, let us get out of this man. Let us come out of this man and go to the swine. And Jesus said, be gone. And 6,000 6,000 demons swooped over and got in 2,000 swines, and they jumped over the cliff. The devil's crazy. The devil's cruel. And people now are jumping over cliffs. People are committing suicide. People are raping each other. Young men are killing each other. Young children are killing their parents. Oh, the devil's mad. And the reason the world is in such shape it is because men have turned their backs on the crucified Christ. They refuse to come to him. And it's not going to get no better. It's going to get worse. You talk about the coronavirus. The coronavirus is a Mickey Mouse. A Mickey Mouse. You hear what I say? It's a Mickey Mouse. People walking around here with masks on their face, kid, they're going to get, well, you can get something else other than coronavirus. You could die tomorrow of a heart attack. Woo, Lord have mercy. Folks jumping off a cliff now. People committing suicide. You got young, old men pedophiling young girls. At the age of 10 and 13 and 14, 15 years, they're raping them and they're using them and they're killing babies, offering them sacrifice to Baal. Now you got demons finding UFOs across your, just above your head, and they're getting ready to come down here. And I know you think I'm crazy. The world think I'm crazy, but let me tell you, the demons are getting ready to invade Earth. This earth right now, this world right now, is almost unfit to even live in. People can't go to bed at night, drive-by shootings, go down at the abortion clinic, 62 million babies killed every year. Every year, 62 million babies are aborted. Bill Gates and all those rich millionaires are controlling this planet through Lucifer. President Biden is making the decision. It's the Illuminati running his life. Because if he don't do what them people tell him to do, he dead meat. And if you don't believe me, ask President Kennedy. 1963, he was assassinated. Why was he assassinated? You don't even know. The reason you don't know, because you didn't study. You didn't look into it. Why did they cry? Why? Because President Kennedy resented and hated secret societies. And the secret societies knew that if he gets another run, that their plan, the Illuminati, will be annihilated. And so Lyndon B. Johnson, all the rest of those presidents belonged to the Illuminati. They made sure that he wouldn't get out of Texas alive. And they shot him with a bullet through the head because he denounced the dark secret of the Illuminatis to control the world under a secret societies. And there's over 14 secret societies on the planet today that the devil is mustering up. And now he's got his plan going on, and the Pope is behind it. The Pope is a joke. And if anybody believe in the Pope and they get offended, too sad, too bad, because I ain't going to bow down to no clown that don't know nothing, can't say nothing, mumbling and jumbling, speaking in Latin. I don't know what you're saying. You better get somebody to interpret that tongue language, because I don't know what you're saying about me. People worship anything that could satisfy their ego. Well, why don't you listen to Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the truth. No man can get to the Father. Let me come by me. We're getting ready for a world war. World War III is right around the corner. When Israel got back in their land, they don't have more wars from 1948 to 2021 than any nation on the face of the earth, because Satan said, I got to get rid of these Jews. I can't stand the Jews. The Jews is the one that caused me to be defeated, because the Jews were the one that brought Christ into the world through Mary, having a baby, born in Bethlehem of Judea, raised in Nazareth, walked in the temple at 12 years old and taught the Pharisees and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, baptized by John the Baptist, went up in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, turned water to wine, healed the sick and raised the dead, cast out devils. That's all they did. Just walked around Jerusalem. And people say, he's all right with me. And then some say, we don't like him. We just don't like him. Why? Because he's trying to change our way of living. Yeah, that's what the world needs. You need a new life, and that life is only in Jesus Christ. Good God Almighty. We got millionaires, Bill Gates. We got Vladimir Putin. We got Warren Buffett. We got David Couch. We got Charles Couch. We got all these rich millionaires and rich Jews and rich Gentiles that has a plan to eliminate the population of the earth down to a couple of billion and kill all the unneeded. If you're not needed, they want to wipe you out. This is what Bill Gates doing. All this coronavirus is all planned. All planned. And God permitted to be planned. And God is warning the world through this coronavirus. You need to repent. You need to turn from your wickedness. You need to turn from the killing and the murders and the families being broken up and men living with men and women with women. You need to stop it and repent at the foot of the cross so the blood of Jesus Christ can sanctify your soul and change your life, that you can be made in the image like I am. Because let me tell you, if you ain't saved, you're not walking in the image of God. The image of God is holiness. The image of God is sanctification. The image of God is edification. The image of God is walking upright with the love of God in your heart for other people, to tell them, Jesus is coming, brother, sister. Get ready. Don't let nobody fool you. The Bible already done said exactly what's going to happen. Let's look in Peter. Look in Peter and see what Peter says. In 2 Peter, in the Word of God, we will read these words. In the Word of St. Peter, second chapter, it reads thusly. The second epistles, beloved, third chapter in the second book of Peter, it says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind, for those that have pure mind, by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Scoffers walking after their own lusts. We got a whole bunch of scoffers. We got a whole bunch of scoffers in the church. Embarrassing. Church folk been going to church for years. Don't know that there's a rapture coming. And when you talk about it, they get scared. They have a fright night. They have a flashback. They don't want the Lord to come. I ain't ready yet. Well, whether you ready or not, he's coming. And you playing around and playing hanky-panky and jive time turkey? Come on now. Preachers mesmerizing folks and making folks believe that it's going to be all right. They ain't never mentioned about what's going to happen to them if they ain't saved. They don't preach salvation, redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ and him only. They marking and say, oh, look at these old funny Christians. They act like they monkeys that make too many bananas, swinging on the vines, falling out, jumping around, doing this, running across the pulpit, and they ain't giving nobody no inspiration about what's getting ready to happen, because in a moment of a twinkling eye, I'm out of here. And saying, where is the promise of, where is this so-called Jesus Christ? Y'all been talking about this thing so long, you know something? I ain't paying no attention to it. You've been crying wolf, wolf, wolf for so long that I ain't going to pay no attention. I'm going to go right on doing what I want to do. Church folks, I'll tell you, church, I ain't talking about the world, because the world, hey, man, they, the only thing they need to know salvation. But the church folks say, well, I know salvation, but live like the world. They say, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished. You recall that flood, that great deluge that God called Noah and told him, all flesh have come corrupt before me. And I can smell it in my nostrils. I can see what the world is coming to. I seen the fallen angels, the watchers, came down on Mount Hermon. And they looked at the daughters of men. And they cohabitated with the daughters of men and got men of renown. And they became giants. And they became so wicked that the only thing they could think of and imagine what wickedness day after day after day after day. Wickedness all day long, all week long, all month long, all year long. Just killing and murdering and raping and sex orgies and wife swapping and adultery and cheating and gambling. Oh, it was miserable. It and Noah was living amongst these people. But although he was living amongst them, God protected him because God found grace in the eyes of Noah and said, get your family ready because I want you to build an ark and make it out of gopher wood because I'm going to cause it to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and I'm going to cause it to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm going to cause it to rain and rain until I flood and wipe out almost the whole human race. The only thing that God saved Noah and his family so the human race could revamp itself. And he told Noah to tell his family, y'all get ready because I'm going to cause it to rain. Build a boat so many cubits high, so many cubits long, so many cubits wide, and I'm going to get all the animals on. I'm going to bring them on, brother. And when the people saw this, they laughed, they joked. They ran around and said, oh, bald-headed. I don't know if Noah was bald-headed, but they probably were saying, the old crazy preacher, he ain't got the sense that he was born with. He need to quit all this foolishness. What is rain anyway? What is rain? I don't see no rain. Ain't no clouds in the sky. There ain't no water around here but the lake down there. What you talking about? He said, it's going to rain, y'all. And they laughed and heckled and jekled for 120 years. 120 years. They laughed at Noah, but Noah wasn't stunned. Noah did what God said to do. Build an ark. And Noah building off him and his family. And when the 120 years were up, God told Noah to gather all the animals and bring them on the boat, two by two and by seven, clean animals, because they had to use them for sacrifice and food by seven. Bring them on the boat and put them, let them come on the boat because the Lord guided those animals. Lord, have mercy. Woo! He guided them animals on that boat. And the people were standing by. I don't know if it was a billion there, a million, or 6 million, or 7 million, but there was a lot of people there because men in those days lived for like 900, 800, 700 years, and they were repopulating the earth, and it was corrupt. It was sick. It was so sick that if you would take this generation and put it back into that generation, the generation that was before this generation, they would throw up and say, y'all doing the same thing we done. Absolutely. There were punks. There was faggots. There was maggots. There was drunkards. There was men changing the sexes, wife swapping. Same thing that was going on in the days of Noah. Jesus Christ, it shall be the same when the Son of Man comes. And brothers and sisters, we got it. We got it down to two. You can't get away. You can get all the policemen you want. You can get all the presidents you want and put them in a room and say, well, we got to find a way to make the world better. They can't do it. They can't do it. God said, in order to save mankind, I'm going to have to destroy all the wicked. And I could only find 8 people that was fit to be saved from destruction. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and his 3 sons' wives. They got on the boat. After all the animal was on the boat, Noah got on the boat, and for 7 days, the boat was open. 7 days! 7 year tribulation. 7 candlesticks, 7 stars. 7 is a complete number of completeness. 70 years, Israel had been a nation. So 7 showed completeness. And now we're living in the 73rd year of what? Of what? Of Israel's existence. And by that, the 7 days was up. After the 7 days was up, all the animals was on, God came down and closed the boat. When the boat was going up, when the door was going up, it was the last 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 seconds. It was sealed. It was done. It was closed. And the people looked at it and seen the door closed, looked right dead at it. And nobody came. Nobody ran. I said, wait a minute, Noah. Wait, I'll go. I'm coming. Nobody. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the Son of Man come. I'm not going to destroy the world by water. No more. It's going to be by fire. And fire is burning up California. Fire is burning up Iowa. Fire is burning up Siberia. Fire is everywhere. It's dry, no rain. And the Lord said, I'm not going to mess with no more water. I'm going to burn it this time. People's houses are burning down. 1,000 houses, 1,000 by the 1,000, scooping across the land, part of Jerusalem. Amen. There's a dry over in Jerusalem. Why? Because there's a drought going on. And God is warning and warning and warning and warning and warning. He's warning. And people said, oh, it's going to be all right. We still going to play football. We still going to play basketball. We still going to have fun. We still going to do this. I'm still going to get married. I ain't worried about no second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, if he would have came, he should have came a long time ago, because I'm going to have my party. I'm going to do my thing. Yes, I am. Until the day they entered the ark. And it was shit. When the rapture comes, the door is going to be shut for those that have not been born again. They're going to be left here on this earth to face the tribulation period. They're going to be deceived by Satan and the Antichrist. And now we're in that period where God is crying out to this generation, crying out. And I believe, I don't know, but I feel what God feels. I cry. I cry for the souls. You might not see no tears in my eyes, but I cry out of my heart to see people neglect the word of God and neglect the salvation that Jesus Christ has brought to this world. I cry when I hear about people dying in car accidents and babies being killed. I cry inside and say, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. Because people are just dying useless. People don't care about each other no more. People in the church don't love like they used to. They don't. I was raised in church. And I see today people are mean and cruel in the church. Talking about they saved. You ain't saved. You trying to fool somebody. You can't fool God. You might can fool me a little bit, but pretty soon it's going to come out. Because let me tell you, you can go on for a little bit, but you can't. God, and God is upset. He's upset more with the church than he is with the world. Because the world is saying, I ain't going up in that church, man. I ain't ready yet. I ain't going to go up there faking it. But you got people in the church faking it. Don't love nobody. Can't witness to nobody. Can't encourage nobody. Can't lift nobody up. Always want God to do this. And what are you doing for God? What are you doing for God? Are you telling the world about this wonderful salvation? That you can be saved once and for all? Are you telling people that salvation is free? Are you telling them salvation is eternal and God loves you? And God, if he saved you, he'll never leave you, forsake you? Or are you telling this hip-hop salvation? You lost, you found, you lost, you found, you lost, you found, you lost, you found. Well, God don't do no hip-hop salvation. You saved once and for all. He brought eternal redemption through his son, Jesus Christ, once and for all. And ain't no coming back down here, died again to save you again. You say once and for all, got it? So what you say? Noah waited for about maybe 7 hours, and it began to rain. It rained from heaven, and water gushed up out of the earth. Geysers gushed up out of the earth. All over the world, the whole world was totally flooded. And God Almighty, his love and his mercy, seeing that the corruption that these fallen angels had caused through Satan, he had to wipe out everybody but 8 people. 8 people got saved. And Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, said it's going to be the same way when the Son of Man comes. But by the grace of God, and by the Jewish people, man will have a last opportunity. Listen, he will have a last opportunity to hear the gospel, not from the church, because the church is over. Church is almost over. Church on this earth is almost over. Church destiny, next destiny to church, is the glory in heaven. That's where we're going to have a church forever. Ever live with Jesus Christ. Forever see the glories of God. Forever be with your loved one. Forever not to have to face sin no more. We'll have a hallelujah time. But thank God for the Jews. Because the Jews did not finish their mission on this earth. And they had 483 years for God to work with them. And God said, I'm going to work with you for 490 years. And by the Jews rejecting Jesus Christ, God went to the Gentiles and grafted them in. And he's been working with the church for 2,000 years, where the fullness of Gentiles is almost over. God owes the Jewish people 7 years. These 7 years, the Jews will fulfill their ministry that God intended them to do the last 7 years. And the last 7 years, the church will not be on this earth. Somebody got to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And the only qualified nation that's able to do it, the only, thank God for Jesus, he was a Jew. And he's going to take care of his own people. He's going to give his nation. He's going to give his bride in the Old Testament. He's going to give them the last 7 years to preach the gospel to the world. All over the world, every crack and corner and nook and corner, the gospel is going to be preached down through the 7 year tribulation. And you say, well, how he going to do that? The Lord said, I want you to look at the 7th chapter of Revelation, and you see 4 angels standing on the 4 corners of the earth with the seal of the living God, getting ready to seal 144,000 Jews. Huh, nobody knows. 144,000 and not the Baptist, not the Presbyterian, not the Jehovah Witness, not the Mormon. No. No, these are God's pick. God picked these people out. Not some kind of Israelites coming on the scene saying that they are Jews. Now, let me tell you something. There are black Jews. There are Falachi Jews. And there are European Jews. There are Chinese Jews. But God got 144,000 Jews, evangelist men, ready to go on the scene as minute as the tribulation starts by signing of the covenant with the Jewish people. The Antichrist will rise, and when he rises, God is going to seal 144,000, and they are going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that he's coming back to do what? Set up the millennial kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. He's coming up to set up the millennial kingdom. And he said, I already got the tribe. I got 12,000 coming from each tribe. Male evangelists that will preach 3.5 years the gospel of the kingdom by what? Satellite, iPod, Instagram, all over the world, TV, NBC, ABC, MSNBC, you hear, listen to what I'm saying now. Listen. Every station will cover the ministry of the 144,000. Oh, yes, it will. 600 satellites circling the earth right now is going to beam it down into Africa, all the remote corners of the earth, and they're going to hear that the Jews are going to be preaching Jesus Christ is coming back to set up the millennial kingdom and that he is the savior of the world, and it's going to cause a great revival worldwide. Going to turn the world upside down. Oh! I want roll call. Roll call. Here's roll call. Roll call, 12,000 from each tribe. We got 12,000 from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, from the tribe of Asher, 12,000, from the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000, from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000, from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000, from the tribe of Levi, 12,000, from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000, from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000, from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000, from the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. Good God Almighty, 144,000 Jews in the land of Israel. That's why President, come on now, President Trump, 2014, he said, if I become president, I'm going to make Jerusalem the capital of Israel. I'm going to bring back the embassy into Jerusalem, because President Trump didn't know what he was doing, but he was doing fulfilling Bible prophecy. Because if you want to know about it, Jerusalem will become the capital of the world. Jerusalem is where Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign as soon as Satan be put in the bottomless pit. And after Jesus Christ comes back with the church to set up his millennial kingdom, he's going to judge the nations. And when he judges the nations, the goats are going to get on the left and the sheep are going to be on the right. And when he calls out the name, he's going to look at the goats and say, well, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And the goats are going to cry out and say, hey, wait a minute, didn't we prophesy in thy name? Didn't we do miracles? Didn't we jump across the stage and speak in different tongues? Didn't we heal folks and told them that they were going to have a good future? Didn't we tell them prosperity was the key? Didn't we do all kinds of wonderful works? And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to look at them and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you are hypocrites. You lied on me. You tantalized me. You ridiculed me. You don't know me, and I don't know you. Depart from me. You workers of iniquity, be cast into the lake of fire. Cast into the lake of fire that burned with brimstone. Brimstone. You're going to be tormented forever because you lied. You don't know me. You went under the name of Christianity, but you was working for Satan. And there will be gnashing and gashing of teeth forever. And he looked at the sheep. He said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. When I needed help, you helped me. You did it out of a pure heart. You did it out of love. You did it out of the salvation that you was willing to sacrifice the world and give your heart to me. Come on into my Father's house, and there I will give you by your faith what you deserve, and that is eternal life. My friends, it's coming to a close. The seven feast days is almost over. We got three more to fulfill. And if the Lord don't come 2021 in September, if he don't come, then we've got to go another year, because he will not come in between the feast days. He's got to come on the feast day. God is not a confusing God. He's on time. He's like a train. When that train set up at the station, they got the box car in the right place. They got the baggage car in the right place. And that train pulls that. And God is pulling us all the way across to 2021. And if the trumpet don't blow, because the Jews are going to blow a shofar between the 9th of September and the 10th of September. So be on guard. Be on guard. Don't be slothful in your work. Sure, I know the church. You don't hear this. You don't hear this in the congregation of preachers today, because preachers don't preach it. They don't preach it. Because God's timepiece is the Jewish nation. And God has never failed his people. He haven't failed me. He haven't failed the church. And he will not fail. For Jesus Christ is coming back again. Soon than you think he is. Somebody out there knows that they need Jesus Christ. You can come to him now. You can repent now. Don't be like the flood. Because when that door was shut on that wicked generation, they could not get in. And if you missed the rapture, you can't come to heaven. You got to stay here and face the Antichrist. You got to face the devil himself, the one that you are serving. You got to see him. And when you see him, you're going to see King Felipe come on the scene. Handsome dude. Tall. And the world's going to fall in love with him. But I don't want you to fall in love with him. I want you to fall in love with Jesus Christ right now. Only thing you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. You can do that now. Repent of heart. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I need you right now. I believe with my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I'm willing to accept him right now. In Jesus' name. Church, say amen. If you don't go to church, amen. If you don't go to church, go see if you can find one that's coming with the whole Bible. If they ain't coming with the whole Bible, if they ain't coming with Jesus Christ as the Son of living God and living holy and loving and loving and loving people and helping people, you need to get out. Stay home. Because being around people who don't know God and talking all that trash, if you ain't strong enough, you don't need to be around. Because Jesus Christ is going to take the church home pretty soon. You need to know him. God bless you. May his face smile upon you. For God is love, and those